love? Well, that depends on the broadcast. But if there was a way I could make love to the whole city, brother, my drawers would be off and in a bunch on the floor in 2 winks of a coal miner's eye. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sexual intercourse.
Any 8-year-old has got to love School of Rock, am I right?
I've got an 8-year-old and she loved School of Rock when it came out and she was only 5. The only time I've ever seen my daughter get up in a movie theater and air guitar. Like, she was off her feet dancing by the end of that movie. That is an excellent, excellent film.
It's so organic to the guy. Could there have been a better written role for Jack Black? Talking with Kevin Smith.
Taylor made that role was.
I see you writing words for Jack Black.
I don't know. He's probably way out of our.
I don't think so, dude.
At this point. Yeah, he's huge, man.
Well, he's huge. Famous. What do you think you are? A little fish in a big pond?
I make movies. Nothing we've ever made has grossed more than $30 million theatrically. People don't like that. They like to see huge numbers and stuff.
Well, huge numbers. I know it's going to make more than $30 million. Zach and Miri make a porno.
Yes. That's what we start shooting in the fall. I think that movie might actually outgross $30 million. It's so far, all signs point to. Yes.
So when you guys are pre-producing this, you guys, is it, well, obviously it is, but your wish list and cast, are you getting everybody you want?
So far, we're pretty happy with the casting. So it's a little too early to say anything because no.
You're not going
to
give me anything, are you?
I can't.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't want to pooch this one, but right now we're in a really nice place where it looks like all our dreams will come true. So it's good, and if it works out, it'll be mind-bendingly good for the movie.
Well, the title "Zach and Miri Make a Porno" it implies something. Are we on the right track here?
It's a movie about the Holocaust. If you could. I just wanted to go with the most obscure title imaginable. It's one of those titles that really, if you don't get it by the title, I don't think you'll get the rest of the movie. But the question is how? How did they make a porno? And what happens? That's the reason to go see the movie. Because with a title like that, I realize I'm kind of screwing myself. Because most people be like, well, I know what that's about.
Mm.
But it's how they go about doing it. That's kind of what the story's all about. It's very funny, though.
And you're starting to shoot in the fall?
I think we're going to start shooting in the fall, like around October. So we're going to do the horror movie first called Red State. But we've kind of swapped them out because this one seemed to be moving along much more nicely than Red State. And Red State is kind of a lower budget, kind of run and gun movie, which we can shoot at any time. So we're going to do the Zach and Miri first and then head into Red State sometime in the new year.
So what's your pre-production process like, Kevin?
Mine is, it doesn't really exist. Like, I write the script, I hand it over to Mosier, and Mosier kind of takes it from there.
What do you do then, Scotty?
We budget and schedule and go through casting and, I go out and scout different locations for different places to shoot. I mean, generally everyone's like, you get all the tax rebate states and stuff. Everyone kind of jams those down your throat. But, that's about it. I'm going to watch a lot of porno.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's making really, of porno, totally. That's kind of.
There's
like
nothing you won't do for your art,
porno.
Man. You're amazing.
This is the movie where you get away with watching like horrendous triple penetration type things. And your wife can't say anything. Yeah, like, hey, it's for the movie, man. Otherwise, I wouldn't be watching.
This is the Pixar thing we were talking about before.
Yes. This is the one they're missing out on.
Do you guys ever argue and get into it?
Yeah, I mean, we've never, like, gotten into a knockdown drag-out, but we've definitely, there are some things we don't see eye to eye on.
Has he ever, like, presented, like, you said you do some location scouting. Like, you out there and you go, I got the greatest spot, and then Kevin comes out and goes, whoa. You guys ever have creative little clashes like that?
No.
I mean, the last, like, kind of battle we had, and it wasn't even a battle, it was just kind of like, well, I think this, and he was like, well, that can't be, is when we were in pre-production, early pre-production on Clerks 2, when I was like, I want to do the movie for like $200,000. And he was like, you are out of your mind, dude. We're not children anymore. And it's also like, these movies make money for somebody, and you can't ask people to work for free on the movie and not get paid knowing that somebody else is going to be making money down the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing for like him and I to defer salaries because we want to do something. But like when you're asking like Ratface, the guy who does our production designer, or Laura Greenlee, who's our line producer, or Carol Banker, who's been our script supervisor, any number of the people that have worked for us to like take a huge reduction in salary to do a passion project for you and they're not going to see any money ever, knowing that the studio is going to see money down the road. It's just kind of unfair. So we kind of had it out about that, because I was like, well, everybody should be willing to do it for nothing, man, because, you know, we've supported them in the past on the other movies, and this is just one I want to do inexpensively. It's like, we're just beyond that now. You can't expect these people to not get paid. They got families. Like, back in the day when we were doing it, when we were younger, nobody was married. Nobody had people to take care of. Now people are married with kids. You can't expect them to, like, work for free. But that was it. It wasn't even like, well, I'm never talking to you again.
Uh-huh.
Or a punch.
We have debates every once in a while. And sometimes when you're shooting and you're tired and pissed off about whatever, it's like sometimes we'll have a little moment.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But then we get naked.
And it always ends with something going into something else. A nice standing 69, break out the belt, strap it around my neck and his legs, and we're off and running.
We are going. We are going for it. Hey, listen, we actually got to the top six. We're going to keep moving on that. And we are, I promise, going to get to your phone calls. Number seven, Knocked Up, $130 million. Anyone?
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
And?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. That's,
totally cute movie.
Seth Rogen, great. 1408.
Really stood alone in terms of, like, there was no other comedy really out there this year, especially no R-rated comedy.
Yeah, an
R-rated. This summer. Like, they were just incredibly well-positioned, I thought.
Judd Apatow was on
fire. Because the movie opened, like, what, 25 to 30 million, mm-hmm. I think, and then just kept earning, like, huge amounts of money over the course. Because that movie's been out since, God, like, feels like the end of May, maybe the beginning of June.
Right.
So
it's a good comedy.
It's a great word of mouth movie, and Seth Rogen is an absolute genius.
Right on. Number six, $50 million, John Cusack's 1408. Anyone see that?
I want
to
see it. I didn't get
it. I thought it was good.
I hear it's really watchable.
Yeah, it's good. Number five, Evan Almighty, $77 million.
I saw that picture. I took my kid to see it. My kid wanted to see. She didn't see Bruce Almighty,
right.
So she wasn't like, we have to find out what happens next. She saw a TV spot where there is a kid high fiving an elephant, and she's like, I must see that. So, and that's pretty much what it was. It was a movie about kids high fiving an elephant. Very much a family movie.
Let's talk to Scott Mosier here. Now, that's 200, 225, 250 for this production, this comedy.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie?
I did not. I don't have a kid.
Well, it's definitely. I guess what you can say, it's not up on the screen. So now the movie's sitting at under $80 million. Does someone lose their job, or is it just a big corporation? Who sucks up the big loss?
I don't know, man.
Somebody could lose their job over that one.
Really?
That's no bueno. That's no good. Mm-mm. That's a pretty heavy loss, you know?
Right.
And, you know, people are making decisions along the way. I've not found the person who's lost their job. Maybe they'll call in.
Well, I don't know.
Looking for a job.
it's locked and loaded. Good luck on turning again. But isn't Morgan Freeman God?
Morgan Freeman's really good.
He's not good. He's God.
The problem with that movie, as I saw it, was there weren't any laughs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really wanted to laugh, and there was just nothing. Everyone was, like, doing their best. Like, you don't watch that movie and go, like, this is horrendous. What a piece of crap. Everyone did their jobs and acquitted themselves admirably, but there was, except maybe the writers. I don't even want to go so far as to say the writers. There's just no laughs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it was like a $200 million Christian film. Like, it's pretty religious. It's a very, don't you,
yeah.
You saw it, right?
He's talking to God.
It's basically
Moses.
A very expensive episode of Davy and Goliath. You know, where
filmed
you're just
filmed in,
like,
Glendora, California. There you go.
It?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought the flood stuff looked kind of cool. It's just, it could have used a few chuckles in it.
Yeah.
But anytime you've got, like, a major motion picture, a studio motion picture, where in the first 10 minutes, family prayer is referenced, you're just like, what? How did that happen?
I disagree.
Normally, that never happens.
I disagree. The table scene at Ricky Bobby, that ad-lib scene.
Right, okay, but there's a prayer scene that's played for laughs. Huge laughs, and ironically. Evan Almighty, when his wife comes into the bedroom and she's like, you know, when our son was saying his prayers tonight.
Oh, gosh.
Nothing funny about it whatsoever. She's not being ironic. She's not invoking the baby Jesus. It's just like she's literally talking about a family that prays. And, you know, I ain't against that, but, like, you never see that in a studio movie.
Dear 6 pounds, 8 ounce baby Jesus and your golden fleece divers. Will Ferrell, great. Let's burn through this top 10. Number four, License to Wed. That's great if you're a 15-year-old girl. Go have a great time. Enjoy it. I'm not going to see it, but that's...
Although I did see, like, some TV spot where, like, Robin Williams is hanging out with a kid the whole movie.
Well, let's...
He's got, like, a little kid assistant, which I thought was kind of, like, very... it looks like they're getting away with a very naughty joke.
Let's take a listen.
A priest that hangs out with a child?
Let's take a listen.
Now, a lot of people ask me, what if I'm cheating with a woman who's really, really ugly? No, it does not make it all right. It is still a sin. What other sins? Anybody?
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Starts with coveting, ends with the clap.
Oh, stop. Anyway, we tried.
That may be like one of the most subversive jokes that's been buried in a mainstream movie in a while. I haven't seen it, don't know the context of it, but I just saw this shot of him sitting next to a mini-me version of himself who was a kid. I mean, priests and children, those aren't jokes that you make in mainstream movies, man. So maybe they got away with it, but I don't
know.
Getting
edgy. We'll have to see. We'll actually have to go in and see License to Wed. But number three, Live Free or Die Hard.
Genius picture.
Yeah. John McClane is back, and Timothy Olyphant is back, and that's two movies for you. Catch and Release. Held your own, brother. Held your own very well in that one.
And Catch and Release. Thank you. Yeah, I've done two movies with Timothy Olyphant. I think that'll be it, though. I think Tim's put in his contract that, like, I'm not doing any movie if that fat dude's in it again.
Oh, come on.
He's doing Hitman right now. I think they might be done.
Based on a video game?
Yeah.
Do you play the video game?
Never even heard of it until he starts.
Are you a gamer?
Not really. I'll play my Nintendo DS.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't busted out a PS2 in a long time. I don't have PS3. I don't have a Wii.
All right, let's go. We already talked about Ratatouille number two.
I was going to make a joke, but I'll let it ride.
All right, we got to take a break.
Too easy.
And then Transformers number one, and it's looked like $150 million.
Which I do want to see. Wait, what was number two?
Number two is Ratatouille. It's $100 million, and then number one, it's probably going to be $150 million, and it's actually an amazing first weekend. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm all about it. We got to take a break. We're going to come back with Kevin Smith, and we're going to talk about Crazy for Cult. It's an art show. It's happening on July 17th. Is that Dewey Finn? That's right. I Give Back to Society by Rocking. All right, 7 to 11. That's going to be Tuesday, July 17th. And it goes all the way through August 4th, I believe. It's August 7th. 11th? And it's gallery1988.com. Gallery1988.com. No movie critics. Kevin Smith in studio having a good time. Hope you're having a good time. It's the Film Freak Show live on the radio and live online. 971freefm.com.